Right. Well, today we have a sermon, and it will be followed by a Bible study, in which time we will dismiss the young people for their youth or Sabbath school. But we will not end after the first message with a hymn or closing prayer. That will be after the Bible study. To bring us the first message and the sermon, Mr. Steve Kennedy.
Thank you, Mr. Adia. Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's quite a full room. Last week, my wife and I were in Yuma, and we enjoyed some time with the brethren there, and there were actually twice as many as there usually are, so that means there was about 30. This is a little bit different than that. So, it was interesting to hear, and I appreciated the opening prayer so much, Mr. Tours, because you talked about the challenges that we face in our life as Christians that are ahead of us, and we see the prophecies coming to pass before our eyes in the world news and around the planet in various ways, and we see terrible things happening, and we have things happen in our own lives that are very difficult. And I think it's probably fair to say that there's not more than a handful of people in this room that haven't suffered some kind of loss or suffer some kind of loss in their life that hurts them and that they have to carry, that you have to deal with. And we all do at some time or another have to bear those things. And it can be very challenging, though, as we look at the prophecies of the end times and realizing that these things are going to happen, and to consider them and to look at them and face them with bravery and with the faith that God wants us to have. He warns us in His Word, God warns us in His Word that we should consider these times and recognize that they're coming and be prepared for them in the only way that we can be, in our relationship with Him. And so today, I'd like to look at a warning that He gives us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 to begin with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, He gives us this warning. And most of us have heard this. We will recognize it right away if we don't know it immediately, just from the reference. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 1. Where it says, "But know this, in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous times, difficult times, stressful times. There are a variety of translations that take those words and make them and present them in different ways, but the ultimate idea is it's very difficult. There are challenging times ahead, stressful times. And we understand that on some level, as an Israelite people in a way, a spiritual Israel, ourselves, that we'll face the difficulties that God tells us we will have challenges in our lives. But why will it be stressful? Why will the end times be so terrible? Well, it continue in verse 2. It says, "For men will be lovers of themselves," mankind. People will be more selfish. Society has become more focused on me, on the I, on what is going on in my life. Individually, it's a me. And they've even identified themselves as that me generation, haven't they? The me generation. It's all about what can I get and what's in it for me. Me, me, me. My money, my stuff, my life. And as it says in verse 2, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control. They will be brutal, despisers of good. It's like reading the news, isn't it? I just picked up the paper. I didn't read that out of the Bible. I just read that out of the, no, I'm kidding. That's out of the Bible, but that's the newspaper from the past foretelling the future. And I mean, this is going on right now. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It describes the world you and I live in right now. And as a result, how are the godly affected? Those who are trying to live God's way of life, how are they affected? Well, drop down to verse 12. It's no big surprise that we have challenges in our life. God tells us. It's in the news. We just read the top page. Now we're down on verse 12, and it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." As a result of these challenges, as a result of the problems of the end times, we're going to face persecution. As I said before, today's news printed in the Bible before it happened. So you can't pretend you didn't know it was coming. It's there. Worldliness and those anti-Christian attitudes and laws are going to lead to a toxic environment for God's people. For those who even try to live by some modicum of God's laws, they're going to be under attack. And those who are really pushing the envelope against this world are definitely going to be on target. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And now we get to a warning for us. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And then from childhood, and I'd like to insert their spiritual childhood. I didn't come into God's church until I was 19. So in a way, I was passing out of childhood. I know that wasn't completely true now looking back from this perspective, but it was, you know, I thought I was pretty smart. But the point was, is that I didn't really understand anything until I came into God's church and I got to see the future through this book. I got to see what was going on through God's word. And so as a spiritual child, I've been learning from this book for all these years, and we all have, and we have learned them, and we know where they're coming from, and we know where the information is, the source is, don't we? And so we need to rely upon it, and we need to know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, the news of this world is not the news you and I long to hear, is it? We want to hear the good news. The Christ returned, the kingdom is here, he's ruling, and all the terrible things are being put away and put down and destroyed. Mankind can finally be at peace, true peace, real peace, not just absence of war, but actual peace and joy and happiness. In this message today, which is based on a sermon that Dennis Luker gave back in 2012, I'd like to talk to you about three things we can do to strengthen our faith as the prophecies of this world's decay come to pass before our eyes. Three things. And I would like to say, I think it's fair to say within this room, these things are happening. Within the individuals I'm looking at, you are doing these things, but we need to continue and push harder, and all the more so as we see the challenges continue to grow. We don't want to get to the place where we say, well, I got that figured out. I got that checked off the list. I got the t-shirt. I can relax now, right? No, we can't let down. We can't allow ourselves to become complacent and say, okay, well, I've got that thing handled. I've got that degree. I can move on. You know, the Christian way of life is not about a diploma that you can hang on the wall and say, see, I got that thing. It's a way of life. It is a way of life. It's action. It's all the time, and it needs to continue, and we need to continue in it and become stronger and more capable of dealing with the challenges that will come at us. And it applies to all of us. And we all can use the spirit that God has given us. The first step I'd like to talk about today, I just called it seek God. Seek God. So what does that mean? Well, we'll look at scriptures. We'll look at examples there in there to see what that means. Brethren, while we have the time, while we have the absence of war or peace, as some call it, we have stability and roofs over our head and food on the shelves and water coming through the pipes and electricity at the flick of a switch. While the times are good, and they are good right now, they're very good, we can't let ourselves let up, though. We need to take advantage of the opportunity that God is giving us now to have a very close relationship with him so that when the times are hard, it's an automatic response. It's not, oh, wait, I need to have a relationship with God now because it's getting bad. No, we need a relationship with God now while we can do it, while it's, well, easy. Frankly, with the aches and the pains and the challenges some of us have, so what? It's still pretty easy. It's not sleeping under a bridge or with a piece of cardboard over your ear or hiding in the bushes to avoid somebody trying to get you. You know, things are good. God wants us to strengthen our relationship with him so that our faith won't fail. And Isaiah 55, turn to Isaiah 55 with me. And we hear this. These aren't my words. Aren't even Dennis Luker's words. These are right out of the Bible. These are God's words in Isaiah 55. It's in front of Jeremiah, just in case you're wondering. Isaiah 55. Verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's just take that apart for a really quick second. It implies there is a time when he is can't be found and when he won't be near, doesn't it? That's implied in that sentence. So that's a warning that we need to heed. That's something we need to consider. Call upon him. Let the wicked forsake his way, verse 7, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If we've kind of let down, if we become complacent or become kind of used to the dark things that are on the horizon and aren't focusing on our relationship with God, we can turn that around right now. We're breathing. We're here. The time is now. The opportunity is here. For he will abundantly pardon. And why? Because he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. Your ways, my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We have a daily possibility, a daily responsibility possibility, if you will, to develop his mind in us right now. Right now. This moment and every opportunity. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Sometimes when I look at my notes, my eyes cross and a 1 looks like a 2, like Roman numeral 2, you know. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll start with verse 27. Here's a very important warning. We already talked about it. We've already read the implication in Isaiah that while he may be found, that God may not be. Well, he distinctly says that here. Proverbs chapter 1, begin in verse 27. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Their bottles will be empty and they'll go to buy more, but he won't be there. We can't be those 5. But why? Why won't they find him? Well, because implied in the following verses, during the good times, they hated knowledge. They didn't choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of his counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore, they'll eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. We do tend to neglect things when the times are good, don't we? We tend to, well, the house is in pretty good shape, so I don't really need to worry about that thing that's falling off. I'll wait till another thing's falling off and then hit Home Depot. But what if Home Depot wasn't there, you know, one day? But whoever listens to me, as it says in verse 33, whoever listens to me shall dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil, spiritually. That's not to say that we always get the physical safety, but certainly if our faith is strong, God will look after us and take care of us. James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4. Verse 8. What do we do? Well, we seek God. It says that in James. It's the best part about having notes. I can have them in my notes, so if I can't find it, it doesn't matter. I still have it. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Sometimes it can be very helpful to remember how you responded when God first called you. Do you remember that excitement? Do you remember how anything was possible? Anything could be let go of? I mean, you didn't want to, but you could walk away from things. And you understood on some level it would be okay. You didn't know why, but you knew it would be okay. And you were excited. And it can be really helpful to remember that humble attitude, that excited fire that you had. In verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Let's turn now to look at the wisdom of the last living apostle, John. Let's look over in 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, verses 3 and 4, where he says, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now when you hear the word fellowship, what do you think? What's the first thought in your mind when you hear the word fellowship? It's a really biblical sounding word that got used a lot in Old English. And what does it mean? Well, in modern vernacular, it means friendship. In all the good ways that it can be a friend, fellowship is friend, is friendship. My wife and I have the opportunity on a weekly basis to be with people in their homes and enjoy a meal together, and we talk about things, and they enjoy talking about the things of God, and we enjoy talking about the things of God, and we become knit together in such a way that when they have challenges, we know about them and vice versa. And we can support each other and say, hey, it'll be okay, you'll get through this. Be stronger. It's okay, we're here with you. You can do this. God is with you, we're with you. And it's a wonderful thing, that friendship. And that's the kind of friendship that you and I can have with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Listening to each other. Sharing our concerns with Him. The good experiences, the happy times, the sad things, the things that are hard to bear. We have friends that we can go to who love us and are willing to hear from us. And that's God the Father and Jesus Christ. Even more than those physical friends that we enjoy being with so much, He is available to us. As John said, and these things I write to you that your joy may be full. Think about that. I really enjoy these friends so much. Love being with them and the opportunities that come up to be with them. And how exciting it is, you know, how fun it is to go to their house. And what if that kind of excitement could be applied to the same relationship with God and Jesus Christ? I'm excited about reading His Word. I'm excited about praying to them and sharing my problems. What if I could feel that way? I'm working on that. I hope we all are. Because now's the time. Now's the time to seek God and have that relationship, that friendship, that fellowship, that closeness, that knit togetherness that we have the opportunity of. When you talk about talking with God, David spoke about prayer in Psalms. Turn to Psalms 4 with me. If there was ever a passionate guy who had challenges, it was David. But he wrote so many things down about his communication that he had with God. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me when I was in distress. And again, if anybody had challenges, David sure did. They're recorded there for us to read. Notice verse 7 and 8. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season when their grain and wine increased. More than when things were going great, God, you reached into me and made me happy. You gave me hope and you filled me. You know, he's saying that you can have this amazing relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity now. While times are good. We won't have it later. We need to build on that. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. We read in verse 8. We need to seek God, brethren. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and we'll start in verse 1 and go through 8. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications. Because He's inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. God hears us and He wants to hear from us. And He'll listen. The pangs of death encompassed me. The pangs of the grave laid hold of me. The challenges that wake us in the middle of the night, you know, the scary things, they go bump. And you wake up and you go, and then you remember God's there. And you go, hey, I'm a little worried right now. Maybe I need to lay the, can you handle this one for me? And he goes, okay, go back to sleep. I got this. I felt that. I hope you have as well. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Help me. You know, you can just see David. God, please, this is just more than I can bear. What do I do? Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the humble and childlike. It says simple, the humble and childlike, which is what it means. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dwelt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Brethren, seeking God now is the first step, or one step, an important step towards building stronger faith and having the faith that will see us through the dark times ahead. It's interesting how all these things kind of tie together. The second step I want to talk about is about being a friend, but friends in the room. Look around the room, being friends with one another. We're a family. We've been brought together, and we'll see that in the Bible. It's not just my idea again. You've all heard these things before, I suspect, but it's okay to go back over them from time to time. But to be a friend or to seek a friend, and or, I would say, find friends and be a friend. You know, there's all kinds of biblical examples that show we don't have to be alone. Some of us are married and we have the opportunity of having a close friend next to us every opportunity. But that's not an exclusive thing. You know, God isn't just working with the married. He doesn't say, well, here's your best buddy and everything's fine. And all the rest of you, just wait over here for a while. You know, he's got something for everybody. And I can prove that. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 68. Psalm 68. God's interested in all of us. He wants all of us to be involved in each other's lives and to know one another. It says in verse 6 of chapter 68 of Psalms, God sets the solitary in families. Solitary is single. We're all in a family here, a physical family. God sets the solitary. He sets everybody in a family. And this is the family. Look around. Take a moment. Go ahead. Look around. This is your family. We need to meet each other and know each other and be knit together as a family and become each other's friends and really care about one another. What an amazing blessing that is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. We can build on this. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, no longer outsiders, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Saints and citizens. Part of the family. Come on in. Kick off your shoes. We love you here. I bow my knees in Ephesians 3, verse 14. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth and earth is named. The whole family. Everybody who God's Spirit is working with or in is part of his family, and we're named by his name, and we're important to him. And we're all part of one big body and one big family, and we need to look after each other as much as we can. We need to give attention to strengthening and building strong relationships with one another, right here within these walls, in this family. This is the particularly challenging part for me when I read this next verse, Proverbs 17:17. A few years back, a wonderful friend came to me and said these words to me, and I didn't expect it. And as they said those words, I was just blown away by the meaning behind them, and I realized I felt the same way. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. I'm not ashamed about feeling emotional about that at all. I think that's fantastic. Just that somebody out there knew that I cared about them. And I knew I could care about them. And that's the kind of feelings we can have here in this room with each other. The feelings we should have. Two are better than one, it says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, because they have a good reward for their labor. They strengthen one another. They do better work together. When we're supporting each other and caring for each other and we know about each other, we know what's going on in each other's lives. And I'm not saying it's possible to know everybody so closely, but we can sure try real hard, can't we? We've got plenty of time right now, or do we? Let's work on those things. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. And boy, have I experienced that. Do you know those little three-step aluminum step ladders that are so safe that never collapse unless you're a 300-pound guy? In my driveway, and I folded my left foot all the way backwards, I felt the end of my leg hit the concrete, and there was nobody there except me. I didn't even have my cell phone. It was at the other end of the house. And that was the hardest thing I ever did, was roll onto my knees with my leg throbbing and my shoulder hurting and everything aching, and crawl the entire length of my house and find my phone so I could call for help. And then realize I got to go all the way back to the driveway so my ride can get me there, you know. Oh, that was hard. There was nobody there to help me. That was rough. We can strengthen one another, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. We need to know about each other. We need to be a part of each other's family, a part of each other's lives, aware of one another. We could see a kind of that feeling, that relationship, a friendship relationship in the Bible with David and Jonathan, and you can read about that in 1 Samuel 18. And where it says, starting in verse 1, and it was so when he, that is David, had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. It was like they clicked. They just became pals. He went, wow, this is a guy I want to be a friend with. And Jonathan loved him, David, as his own soul. You know, these two strong guys, valiant warrior men, you know, hey, all right, you know, a couple of tough guys, but they cared about each other. They were good friends. And that was a good thing. Even Saul liked David at that point. He took him away from his dad and said, you're staying here. We want you around, kid. You're all right. You know, you're something else. So Jonathan saw David's attitude and character. He saw that spirit of humility, the love that he had for God, and he just became his best friend. And then they made a covenant in verse 2. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't have friends where we did paperwork. Okay, I'll be your friend, and you be my friend, and we'll hang, and we'll shoot pool once in a while, and, well, let's see, we better make a schedule in the contract. No, it's not, I don't know what it looks like. What's a covenant of friendship look like? I've never seen one. Read about it. But these guys got together and said, we are going to be friends. No matter what, through thick or thin, I don't care what happens, we're buddies. We're in this together. I got your back, you got mine. What an amazing, wonderful thing that must have been. Now step two we talked about was seeking or being a friend. And or, I should say, because really we need to be all of those things. We need to have friends and we need to be friends. It's a well-rounded life, you know, in that way. Step three that I'd like to talk about today of building stronger faith is to be an encourager. To be an encourager. It's kind of an expansion of step two, isn't it? Friendship. Be an encourager. As it says in Hebrews 10, in verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let's consider each other. You have to know the people around you. You have to know the people next to you. You have to know who your friends are. You have to know what makes them tick so that you can stir them up and motivate them, you know? It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. Everybody's different. Everybody needs something a little differently. It has to come packaged with love, and that love takes many shapes. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That day that we've talked about at the beginning, the dark times ahead, the dawn's past it, but there's some challenging times, and we need to build the faith. We know we're warned, brethren, in many places. In Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, if the thought occurs to us that this calling is challenging, anybody in here ever felt that way? Nah, it's easy. This is Walmart Christianity, right? You just go down and drop a few bucks down and woo, I'm saved. You know, it's easy. Now I can go on about my life. No, that's not it. It's occurred, I'm sure it's occurred to just about everybody here that it's a challenging life, isn't it? It's not easy to be different. It's not easy to walk against the movements of the world. Well, if you think it's hard for you, check out the room. There's a room full of us. We could use you. We need your energy and your excitement and your happiness and your sadnesses so that we can support you and we can be a family. So let's get together. Let's know each other. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. When someone knows what's going on in your life and takes the time to consider and to care, how amazing it is. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Proverbs 15:26. The words of the pure are pleasant. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. You consider the other person. What do they need? What do they need to hear from me? Sometimes they don't need to hear anything. They just need an arm around their shoulders or somebody standing next to them saying, I'm here for you. Isn't that what we need sometimes? Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, it says in Proverbs 16:24. Sweetness to the soul and health of the bones. I told you about my ankle. Well, not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago, we were excavating our office. Okay, we were cleaning it up a little bit. And I found some cards from 2 years ago when this happened. I had forgotten about these cards, but a number of you just took it upon yourself to go somewhere, buy a card, and write a personal note. I had the one from the church that everybody signed. That was cool. But I got to tell you, really, the ones with the goofy little pictures of Snoopy or, you know, Garfield or all that stuff, other things on them, the fun things like that, and it was like, hey, we're thinking about you. We're praying for your quick recovery. I read these 2 weeks ago, and I enjoyed them. I was encouraged. So thank you to all of you who reached out. 2 years after the fact, I'm walking pretty good. You know, the ankle's, it's not 100%, but so what? I'm on it. So, but wow, what a wonderful gift it was. It was like finding a gem as we excavated. It was wonderful. You know, think about how you've been impacted when somebody encouraged you, when somebody reached out to you. It feels good the other direction too. It feels good to give that encouragement and to be that friend. Brethren, we see the end times coming, don't we? They're there. It's on the horizon. If we're not, you know, in the last minutes, it's getting closer. We know that. It's up to God to decide when to pull the trigger, if you will. And he will in his good time and when he sees fit. And in the meantime, while we have life, while we have breath, we need to build and solidify the relationship that we have the wonderful blessing of having access to, that relationship with God and his Son. Let's seek God every day. Let's become the friends and look for the friends. Let's love one another and take care of each other. Become the encouragers. Support each other. Love each other. Be a family that can endure anything to come because God is here in us and with us. We'll focus our energy on those points. We'll focus our energy in those directions. We'll find ourselves past the darkness, able to withstand and overcome whatever comes.